into the family through Jesus' precious blood. You tasted of his goodness and his love. He showered you with blessings. He's building you a home. But somehow on your journey, you're standing all alone. You've wandered far from homeland, down paths so dark and cold, in search of all the treasures you could hold. Your freedom brought you bondage, rebellion brought you fear. But Jesus stands behind you, and homeland is so near. Come home, your Father really loves you. Come home, it's where you ought to be. It's a place of peace and comfort, a shelter from the storm. Don't wait another moment, come home. Remember how it used to be when fellowship was sweet. The times we'll spend in worship at his feet. You know it doesn't really matter how long you've been away. Just let his spirit cleanse you and be restored today, today. Come home, your Father really loves you. Come home, it's where you ought to be. It's a place of peace and comfort, a shelter from the storm. Don't wait another moment, come home. For it's a place of peace and comfort, a shelter from the storm. Don't wait another moment, for he stands with arms wide open. Please don't wait another moment. Come home, my child. Come home.
Thank you for that, Nick. Let's stand together briefly as we read the scriptures. We'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to read starting at verse 14, and we'll read through to chapter 4 and verse number 2. We're again still talking about the Bible as we are still in our theme about explore the book. And so we'll talk about it again this morning and for a while. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 says this. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for the Word of God. We pray, Father, as we look at it this morning, that you would just help us to get from it what you have for us today. Help us to draw closer to you through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, as I mentioned, we've been talking about Explore the Book these first 3 months, and really it'll be a theme that we have throughout our entire year. I hope that you have been staying faithful and sticking with the commitments we encouraged you to stick with when we started the year. Of course, to read through your Bible this year and get through it completely, and following our Bible reading schedule, whether you're doing that through the Bible one time or doing it twice. But we encourage you to, if you're newer, of course, just make sure we read through the Bible this year. And then we encourage you maybe to step up and make it to where you don't miss a day, okay? Do everything you can not to miss a day reading your Bible. You say, well, that was my goal when I started the year, and I'll be honest with you, I missed a day. Here's what you do, Brother Pichardo. Catch up, and then don't miss a day from here on out. Don't let it stop you, but let's stick with it this year. To be more faithful maybe in our church attendance and to stick it out. You know, unless you're sick or out of town, we encourage you. Maybe say, if you come typically on Sunday mornings, you're kind of newer, to say, you know what, I'm going to come every Sunday morning. I'm not going to miss a Sunday morning unless, of course, I'm sick or out of town. Or if you die. If you die, you have permission not to come to any more services, okay? We don't want you here. And maybe you come to the services, you say, man, I pretty much got that nailed down. We encouraged you. Maybe start coming to some of the evening services. And then we encouraged you to have family devotions once a week. Realize this. The reason we're doing that is because nothing will change your life like getting into the Bible. You say, well, I worship the Lord, not the Bible. Can I just tell you something? You can't separate God's word from God. I've heard people say that. Oh, you guys worship the Bible. Listen, everything I know about God, I hear from what he tells me. That's like saying I can have a relationship with my wife, but she never talks to me. Dario, I was just thinking about that. That might be a good thing. I'm kidding. Listen, you know, everything I know about her is because she talks to me. Everything I do is because she tells me what to do. So her words are very important in my life. I wouldn't know her. That's how we have our relationship. God's word is an extension of who God is and what God wants. And so we need to understand. You know, the Bible is a very powerful book. If you look through the history, through the Dark Ages, you know people were put to death for just owning the Bible. There was a time when the Catholic Church, this isn't Catholic Church bashing, but in the Dark Ages, the Catholic Church was very powerful. They ran nations. And with some of these nations they ran, the Word of God was illegal, Brother Pichardo. And if you were found with a copy of the Word of God, you would be put to death. When the Bible was first translated, particularly into English, they had to smuggle it into England. The first man to translate the Bible into any portion of English, particularly the New Testament, was William Tyndale. And William Tyndale had commissioned to have 3,000 copies of the New Testament printed, and he was going to smuggle them into England and try to get them into the hands of the common people, knowing that it would change their life and it would change what was going on. Well, the Catholic Church, with some of the English leaders, they were gonna buy these New Testaments up. That was their goal, and burn them. So somebody in Tyndale's camp got a hold of that and told him about it. So they came up with a plan. They said, "Let's sell them all of the New Testaments, and let them burn them." But what they did is they sold it to them at a ridiculously high price. They didn't know that it was from Tyndale, so they sold them all those New Testaments at a ridiculously high price, but they bought it because they wanted to get rid of it, and then they took that money and they printed way more New Testaments than they could have with those other ones. The point is, people have put their life on the line for the Bible in the past. We're kind of Bible rich, aren't we? I mean, I have a printed Bible right here. I probably have a few copies of it. I have the Bible on my phone. I don't really read it on my phone very often. I have a copy of the Bible on my iPad, and I've said this before and probably crucified, but that's the one I read and take notes on. I can go on the internet. Fact of the matter, you can go on the internet, and you can read a copy of the Bible there. I have a copy of the Bible on my laptop. But I think that sometimes because it's so accessible, we don't really take it. We kind of take it for granted, right? kind of like some of us, if we're not careful, we take our spouses for granted. That's why Valentine's Day is so important. You say, well, I've not got my spouse any flowers or anything. That's why the guy in the corners are making a lot of money today. Okay, so you might want to do that. Bible's very, very important. Now, let's look at our scripture this morning. We're going to look at why God gave us the scriptures. Paul wrote the book here to Timothy, really why he was in prison and awaiting what he had finally come to realize was going to be a certain death. From most of what we can gather, 2 Timothy was probably the last book that he wrote before his death. He's writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, and someone who was a fellow pastor. He is encouraging Timothy for his future ministry, knowing that really his own ministry and his time on this earth is drawing to a close. Paul knew that a big part of Timothy going forward, if he was going to have a fruitful ministry, had to do with the scriptures. People in that time desperately needed the scripture because there was two major trials that they would really face in their life. First, one thing was the false teaching that was trying to creep into the churches. As the gospel was going forth, there were people that we called Judaizers, and they would try to come in and take those that were being saved and try to tell them, well, yeah, okay, you trusted Christ, but you still need to keep the Jewish laws and these things, and that's nonsense, of course. And so they had some false teaching that would try to creep in. By the way, there's a lot of false teaching today. Okay, the Bible tells us that things wax worse and worse. Christianity today is diseased. Okay, it's more of a hip hop show if you go to the average church than it is the Word of God. And so we need to really know what the Word of God is. And then another thing, reason he wrote it to them is because of the persecution they would face. Just for being Bible believers, they were going, their life was on the line. And so he tried to encourage them with that. But really, the foundation of everything is the Scripture. That's why he commanded Timothy, and he commands us, continue. Continue in those things we have learned. By the way, I like continuing Christians. What's a continuing Christian? It's someone that says, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to keep going for God. By the way, if you're a new Christian, you're really excited about God, I'm excited that you're excited. But let me say this, be very careful, that excitement will be doused out. Don't just, listen, you say, well, man, I'm on fire. I'm a great Christian right now. Not in a proud way we say that, but things are going well. Listen, I want to make sure that they're still going well 10 years from now, okay? We have too many roller coaster Christians. Man, they are on fire from God, and then a year from now, it's like, what happened to them? The FBI couldn't find them. It's very important that we continue, but I'll tell you what's going to help us to continue, the Word of God. And so that's what he's going to tell us. So what can the Scripture, why did he give us the Scripture? I just want to look through the passage this morning, and I want us to see a few things about the Scripture. First of all, I want us to notice that God's Scripture is a gift from God. He tells us first in the verses we read how and why the Scriptures were given. But the fact of the matter is, they were given to us. They're a wonderful gift given to us from our God. What's involved in this gift? Look at verse 15. We see that salvation is wrapped up in this gift. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you why the scriptures, as we talked about earlier with Tyndale, why they didn't want the scriptures in the language of the common man or in his hand, because he knew that if the common man had a copy of the scriptures and read them, they would realize that most of the teaching they were getting, if not all of it, was false. Particularly regarding salvation. People have all kinds of ideas today about how we get to heaven, and I just feel good about myself, and I'm being a good person, and there's a scale. Let me just tell you something. The scriptures tell us exactly what we need to know. I'm glad that my salvation, my eternity, is not based on what I think. It's not based on something Brother Pichardo told me. It's based on what the Word of God says. That's solid. That's very solid. People always tell you, I believe something about this or something about, great, what does the Bible say? I'm thank God that God gave us the Bible for salvation. Also, he talks about that gift of security. Look at verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's inspired by God. It's not some man-made thing. I was talking with someone recently, and they didn't really believe the Bible. They said, well, you know, man just wrote the Bible, and they wrote certain things at certain times to keep the people that they were governing in line. And tried to tell us that's why King James made the Bible, to help keep the people in line. No, it isn't. That is false. The Bible is from God. God wrote it. And God gave it to us. And so because it is from God, there's a security in that. We know that the Scripture is true. You see, there's a lot of deception in this world, isn't there? Whether it's someone that will tell us something about God that's false, or someone tells us a principle of life that's a lie. How do you know that? The Bible. There's security in knowing that God's telling us what the truth is. Say, what's the answer to every question? Here it is. Thus saith the Lord. Say, well, what do you think about it? Well, I'll tell you what I think. I try to think what God thinks. Because can I just tell you something? Sometimes what I think isn't right. Oh, I thought you were perfect. Talk to my wife. She'll explain it to you. I'm not. I'm really, really close, though. No. I'm not perfect. But, you know, I'll tell you what is perfect. The Word of God. Man, if it's from the Word, we cannot debate that. I remember I had a lady in our class. She got saved. And my wife led her to the Lord. Brand new Christian. By the way, her family moved away years ago. They're still serving God. I think their daughter is going to be a missionary. But I'll tell you why that happened. And she got saved, and it was during stewardship month. And I'm in my office, and I had, you know, my little red lights flashing, which means I got a voicemail. And I pick it up. She goes, hey, Brother Myers, this is Kira. She goes, I've been hearing in church about tithing. She goes, I looked at it. It's in the Bible, and it's in the Bible. I have to do it, and I'm going to do it. And I just got paid. Can you call me back and let me know how that works? I called her back. By the way, if you need to answer, I'll call you back too. But you know what? I like that simple faith. By the way, when she came to church, her husband wasn't saved. But because of her testimony, I was able to go by and win him to the Lord. By the way, he's serving God at the church they're at now. Family's doing well. You know, I think it's because she got saved and just said, Bible says it. I'm going to do it. Because there's a security. You say, well, what does inspiration mean? It's inspired of God. Literally, the word means God breathed. Not something some man came up with. It's the breath of God. God's word. If you want an illustration, there's a verse in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 2. Here's how it works. Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. There it is right there. That's how it works. God inspired people to write his words down. They physically wrote them, but they're God's words. Aren't you glad we have God's words? Amen. There's a security in that. So thank God. As we look at the why God gave us the scriptures, let's not forget the part that it is a gift from God to us for security in our life and for eternal salvation. But I also want you to notice this, that it's a gain for life. Verse 16, let's finish that up. And is profitable. We like that word, profitable, right? If you're going to make an investment, don't you want to invest in something that is profitable? Do you guys remember the dot-com era? The late 90s, and the internet was just taking hold, and we just finished the Super Bowl. There was one Super Bowl, and all the commercials were dot-coms, and everybody was like, wow, if it's going to be on the internet, it's going to make a boatload of money. I want to invest. Can I just help you tell you what happened after several years? Very few of them made money. The bubble burst. But people were looking for something that was profitable, a great investment. I was reading something one time, and there was in the NBA, there used to be a competing league, and it was called the ABA. And the ABA, they're the ones that invented the three-point line, and they had some good players. So the NBA decided, I want to get those players in here, and I want to kill that league. So they said, we'll let you have four teams, and we'll bring them into the NBA. One of the teams was a team in St. Louis. I forget the name, St. Louis Spirit or something. And they didn't want them in the league. So they're like, you need to fold your team. And the owner's like, no. He goes, I'll tell you what, we'll make a deal. They made a deal. Here was the deal. You can have 7% of the television contract forever. Now, the NBA wasn't really big on TV back then. And the owner said, okay, I'll take it. Can I just tell you something? They've made hundreds of millions of dollars every year for doing nothing. That was profitable. By the way, the NBA is trying to kill that deal, and they can't. That's profitable. You know, the Bible is profitable. It's gainful for us in our life. How is it profitable? We won't spend a lot of time on it, but he mentions several things here. He says it's profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is what is right. If you want to know what's right in life, get to the Bible. The Bible tells us what's right in the life. And let me say this, not to be negative, but sometimes I flow in that general direction. If the Bible says it's right, we have no right to say that it's wrong. We have no right to say, well, that's just how I feel. I have feelings too. Sometimes you eat certain things, you really have feelings. Listen, we don't live by feelings. We live by truth. You say, well, I need to know what is true in this life. Get into the Bible. Doctrine tells us what is right. Our society believes that truth is relative. What does that mean? In other words, it's relative to each and every individual. So whatever Brother Pichardo believes is right for him. It may not be right for me, but it's right for him and it's true for him. And I might believe something and that's true and that's right for me, although it may not be true and right for each other. There's a Bible word for that philosophy. Nonsense. Truth is true regardless. And the best thing we can do is get into the Bible and find what is true. Some people believe the truth is changing. Well, you know, this is the 21st century. I got a word for that too. La-di-da. Okay? Thank you. You can tell time. Do you know the truth is still good for the 21st century? By the way, we need it more than ever. Our society and the world is heading down a slippery slope. Oh, yeah. By the way, if you really understand things and look, it could be scary. But you know what? I'm not scared. Because I have the truth of God's word. Yep. So I don't have to fall for all kinds of nonsense. So let's be very, very careful. Some have decided that the truth, even in Christianity, some have decided, well, you know, the truths of the Bible are keeping us from reaching people. So let's not make a big deal out of it. Huh? Aren't we trying to learn the truth together? Listen, if you just want to have a big crowd, let's have a football game. Okay, let's do something that people will come to. The reason we get together is to worship our Lord and honor him, but also to hear his truths in our life. Okay, not to say, well, you know, people won't come to church if we don't give them the truth. Then what are we going to give them, a lie? Because I don't like to be lied to. How many of you like to be lied to? If you do, I'll lie to you. That's fine. I don't like to be lied to. I want to know what's right. I want to know what's true. And I'm thankful the Bible helps me with that area. He also said it's profitable for reproof. If doctrine is what is right, reproof is what is wrong. By the way, there are some things that are wrong. Now, human nature, we don't like to be told what's wrong. You like it if you do something at work and your boss says, hey, I need to talk to you. We don't like that. But it's good for us, right? You know, when your wife tells you, hey, you were wrong. Oh, I was kidding about that, but thank you for that. You know, we hear something, by the way, say, well, sometimes I come to church here, Brother Myers, and you say something from the Bible, and it goes against what I'm doing in my life. I'm going to tell you something right now. Like I've said, you guys have all these speakers. I have three that are pointed right at me. Sometimes I read the Bible, and that goes against what I'm doing too. Are you with me? Okay? And it's trying to help us out. We need to know what's wrong, what's going to hurt us. Now our world doesn't like that, so they call that being intolerant. No. There is a right and a wrong. See, the reason though our society tells us we're intolerant is because our society no longer believes that there really is a right and wrong. We still have laws, though. You know, the only thing they believe is wrong is when you tell somebody something is wrong. Think about that for a minute. They're being intolerant. No. Now, you have a right to believe something if you want to believe something that's wrong. You have that right. But the truth is the truth. The Bible deals in what some would call positives and negatives, right? Well, yeah, the Bible's not a negative book. Okay. It's positive. It's positive that some things are wrong. You know, positive is thou shalt. Hey, do this. The negative is thou shalt not. By the way, it's all positive because God's trying to help us to avoid things that would cause us to have a life that is messed up. He wants us to have something better. So reproof is what is wrong. Some people don't like that, and they don't listen. Proverbs has a verse for that. It says, he that being oft reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. See, sometimes if we get hard to that part which is trying to share with us some things that might be wrong, and we fight it, we are setting ourselves up for destruction. Because when we sin, the sin has a built-in consequence. God's trying to keep us away from that negative consequence. We must hurry. Also, it's profitable for correction. What is correction? How to get it right. You know, listen, you know, a child in school, they do math sometimes, and it's like, you got that wrong. What are you going to do? You're going to teach them the formula to help them to get it right. There's a formula. You get to algebra. You get to what's after? Geometry? Is that after algebra? I think geometry, whatever. I can't even spell it, let alone do it. But, you know, there are math formulas. There's equations you follow to get the right answers. If you do not follow the equations, you don't get the right answers. Correction. Follow what the right answer is. How can we get things right? I'm glad God gives us steps in the Bible. He gives us things we can fix in our life. Years ago, I got a ticket for not having mud flaps on my truck. Probably the most ridiculous thing in the world, but you know what? It's a law. What did I have to do? I had to go buy mud flaps, and I got some screws, and I screwed it on there. And then I went down to the police station, and they came out and said, yes, you have mud flaps. And he signed it off. It was a correction. Some of the places you shouldn't eat. They have those little grades. You ever see those grades? Have you ever seen the one that says corrective action taken? Now, let me explain something to you. When you're going to eat somewhere and you see that one, take a few minutes and read it. You may not eat there. Look for the ones that have an A, not an F minus, okay? And it's like, you know, cockroaches. That's a sign that get out of here. Run. Go the other direction. But in some cases, it's small things they have to do, and they have to get it corrected. Let's work on that. The Bible tells us how to correct things. God's not just negative, like, don't do this. You're messing up. God's like, hey, this is hurting your life, and it's wrong. Here's what you should do. God's trying to get us somewhere. And then he talks about instruction. What is instruction? How to keep things right. It's constant learning to keep us on the right path. You know, I've often said that when we have children, they didn't come with an instruction manual. They were born and they were a mess, purple or whatever color they are, and there's no instruction manual on their feet. Say, where's the instruction manual for life? God's word. Look, everything comes with instruction. You buy an iron. Now, well, the irons can get complicated though. Okay, so you know you buy some little device, and it's like, I don't. By the way, fellas, here's a fella. We don't like to read instruction manuals. Raise your hand if you're with me on that one, okay? No! It's like you got something and all you do is plug it in, it works, and it's got like a 7-page instruction manual. I'm like, forget it, plug it in. And then it's like, hey, it didn't work. Let me check that instruction manual real quick. Everything comes with an instruction manual. Life comes with one, it's the Word of God. And God instructs us in how he wants us to live. Thank God for that. I was a messed up kid when I came to Christ. I was messed up when I came into the church. High school dropout, just working, had no goal, no goals in life, had no purpose in my life. And I walked into church and I got into the Word of God and I found purpose. Like, that's the book for me. Not because I sang the song, but that's the book for me, and that's gonna help me to get to where God wants me to go. I've tried to follow it ever since. And then I also want you to notice, number three, there's a goodness in our works. A goodness in our works. I like this, verse 17. It's profitable for us, and then it helps us to be good in our works. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible isn't just about what he does in us, but it prepares us for what he wants to do through us. See, God has something for us. God didn't just say, God saves us and he wants to work in our lives, but he also wants to work through our lives. God doesn't, you see, when you get saved and you start serving the Lord, your life becomes about more than just you. Your life becomes about serving him and serving others. That's where real joy is found. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Now, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 talks about salvation. Gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. And man, it talks about salvation. Very next verse. For we are his workmanship, a new product, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God says, man, I have something good for you to do. Something that'll not only be good for others, but it'll be good for you. Serving others. Living a life that is outside of ourselves. It's good for us. And it's good for others. And it's honoring to the Lord. And the thing he tells us is the scripture prepares us for that. He tells us that we may be perfect. What does that mean? Mature. I mean, we're not immature anymore. He's maturing us so that we can do these good works. All of us need to constantly be maturing in our faith. Now, as adults, maybe we're older and we're mature, but God says, no, I want you to mature in your faith. The scriptures do that. Faith isn't some, you know, I've all heard all kinds of people, hey, you invite them to church, like, oh, I don't need to go to church. I don't need any of that stuff. I have faith in God. Well, if you never read your Bible and you never go to church, you're not doing anything, I doubt if you have faith in God. That's just words. The Bible tells us how we can do. We grow in our faith. We mature in our faith. We ought to always be going down that path. And we've talked about that much over the last few weeks. But he also says that we can be complete. He says, thoroughly furnished. What does that mean? Having everything you need. Now think of it like this. If you move into a house and your house is empty, you want to get into that house and you want it to be complete, thoroughly front. You want it to have everything it needs for you to set up your residence and set up your home. The Bible gives us everything we need to be the Christian that God wants us to be. We don't need to be lacking. You say, well, I feel like sometimes I'm lacking in my Christian life. You don't have to be lacking. You need to get in the scripture. There's something going on. That relationship you have, that's why, again, I've said it over and over, I'm not trying to be a broken record, which there's no such things anymore. I'm not trying to be a scratch CD, and you won't even understand that 5 years from now because we all listen to MP3s, okay? But you know, listen, most of your problems will go away if you get in the scripture. 90% at least. And the ones that do come your way, you'll be able to deal with them. Oh, yeah, it doesn't mean everything's always pleasant or honky-dory. You're maturing in your faith. You have everything you need to make it. You're complete. And then he says, serving. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while, and you've been coming, you've been growing, and you're getting it. You know what you need to do? You need to get involved and help people. Listen, I'm not trying to scare anybody. When we have our Easter door knocking, we start in March. Listen, we're going to go out, and we call it Easter, as I mentioned earlier. We call it Easter door knocking because I understand it's Resurrection Sunday, but people that don't come to church, they think of Easter. And we're trying to get them to church. Maybe you ought to come out with us and help us to invite some folks. So I could never do that. You don't have to say a word. Maybe you'll grab some of those when we get those things printed up and we get them in your hands. Take a handful of those. Invite some people to come to church. It might be the day that God does something. We got to do something. God has good works he wants us to do. There's all kinds of things in the church you can get involved with. And by the way, serving people are happy people. Amen. Those that aren't doing anything sometimes, we start to sit. They say you sit sour and soak. Well, let's stand, be sweet, and serve. Okay? Let's do something. You know, whether it's taking a term in the nursery, you know, almost sounds like a prison sentence. And that's probably a good thing, you know. Listen, say, well, I, you know, did you know I have a voice I can sing? Hey, I can't. We have choir. I love the choir. Maybe we have, you know, you play an instrument. We have, not in the morning because it's busy, but we have orchestra. There's so many things you can do. I have skill. I can help. I can help if the buses break down. By the way, if you have that skill, come see us. Amen. By the way, hey, we got two new buses. Excited about that. They don't run, but we have them. Just kidding. Two new buses. By the way, maybe you would get a license to drive a bus. We could use a couple of bus drivers. Maybe you'd help on a bus route. Maybe you'd help do this or you would help do that. Listen, the thing that I was so excited about church when I was a new Christian. I was coming. I'm going to the services. I was really fired up. But you know what really helped me get fired up? When I started getting involved. Man, I started teaching. I started getting in Sunday school class. Four-year-old Sunday school class. Remember my first lesson? Daniel and the lions did. I butchered that thing. I think in my version of the story, Daniel got eaten. I was all messed up. You know, it's like, well, that was depressing. It's like, hey, you should have ran, you know. It's his fault he prayed. But anyhow, he did make it, by the way, just to let you know. But I had, and I started teaching. I remember my son-in-law, his older sister was in my Sunday school class. That's really dating myself, you know, four-year-old. And then I got on a bus route, started helping set up the Christian school. I go to their activity. You name it, I did it. I was excited about it. Now, I'm not saying you need to do all those things. I was a 17-year-old, 18-year-old young kid with a lot of extra time on my hands. So I got involved in rest home ministry. Yes. We go to some rest home on Sunday afternoon. They made the tragic mistake of letting me preach. I hadn't preached the message of my life. So I get in there and they wheel all these 80-year-olds and 85-year-olds. And here was my message. You're going to die. The reality of death, it's coming. The reality of death, most of them had the Grim Reaper sitting with them. Now, God bless them. They're thinking, this young kid doesn't have the IQ of a brick. They were so kind and sweet. But it's like, listen, they didn't need me to talk about death. They needed encouragement. But that was their mistake. They should have never put me up there. But I'm just telling you, I love those people. And it didn't sound like it at the time. But I did love those people. To do something. Now, I'm not saying you need to do all that stuff. But maybe you can find something God would use you. A good work. And then lastly, and we're done. He said that the scripture is also a guide for hearing. He says, verse 4, chapter 1 of verse 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. He says, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now I want you to notice something. Did you notice those four things he mentioned are just about the same thing as the four things the scripture does for us. Right? Listen, we don't need just to read the word of God. We need to be in a church where the word of God is preached. By the way, Jesus preached. From that time, Jesus began to preach. His disciples preached. Mark, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach in the early church. Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach. Hey, God wants us not to despise the preaching of his word. 1 Thessalonians 5:20, despise not prophesying, which really another word for preach. Okay? You say, well, preaching isn't the word of God. I know, but we preach the word. We're trying to be faithful to the truths of the word of God. By the way, as a new Christian, I started reading the Word of God, and I started going faithfully to church. One of the things I did that really helped me to grow is I said, I'm going to go to every single service. So I started going to Sunday school class, and I was already going to Sunday morning service. And then I started going to Sunday night service, and then I just went to all of them. And the things I was reading and the things I was hearing were helping me to connect all the dots together and helping me to learn the truth. But preaching. All of us need that. Now, I've heard someone say, and I will contend with them and say, God blesses preaching. I don't believe that. I think God blesses the preaching of his word. Because his word is the truth. That's why we do everything we can around here to push you to the word of God. That's where the power is right there. Okay, not any. We try to help you to understand it, but I'll tell you what, no amount of being in church is going to take the place of the Word of God. But let me just say this. You can't just say, well, I got the Word of God, I won't come to church. That doesn't work either. God's idea was the church. God's the one that said, preach the Word. He obviously wants us to be at church. That's why I made a big deal over the last few weeks about Super Bowl Sunday, because people are going to not have church because of Super Bowl. By the way, I kind of wanted the Broncos to win. But you know what? I was so disappointed in Peyton Manning. He's supposed to be a good guy. No, he's just like all of them. What are you going to do? I'm going to go home and drink a lot of beer. Hey, a bunch of kids were listening to that nonsense. Where are we at with that? But anyhow, that's back to the Bible, because I just want to do that's just that was Steveology 101. I was not happy with the guy. But God says, that's why God tells us the things that he tells Timothy to preach are really the same things that the scripture is profitable for. We don't need less Bible, we need more. By the way, we're encouraged in the singing. That's why we sing certain types of songs here. We're not going to get up and sing, I love you, Jesus, ooh, baby, baby. Jesus isn't ooh, baby, baby. Okay? He's a holy God, and I think we ought to. And by the way, he's a joyful God. The songs we sing try to reflect that. We try to sing songs that reflect what the Bible says, because those are encouraging. And we need to be challenged. The scripture. You say, how long are we going to talk about the Bible? Well, we're going to talk about the Bible every Sunday, okay? But I'm talking, how are we going to talk about our theme? Listen, the Bible is everything. You'll never be the Christian God wants you to be if you don't get in the Word of God. You say, now, hold on, Brother Myers, I've been here since the beginning of the year, and I'm starting to get this thought, and help me if I'm right. I think you actually want us to read our Bibles. You got that? Good. I do. Well, I'm getting an idea. You actually think we ought to live by the Bible. You're getting it? Of course. Why? We need something rock solid in the times in which we live. There's only one thing, scripture. And so I encourage us. What do the scriptures do? Scriptures are good for us. They're very, very profitable. Let's all stand together this morning.